meeting the people shaping racehorse careers. We're going behind the stable door.
We're running out of things to say about Winx. Every time she steps out, she wins in dominant style. And there's such a backstory to this horse. One of the focuses this morning on Talking Horses is with the race caller, Darren Flindell, who sits in the lofty heights of the race caller's box each time she runs and probably has to think about what he's going to say in the days leading up. He's had to think about that a number of times now, and the challenge is changing it up. Darren, how are you this morning?
Yes, good morning to you, Joe. Always feel rather relieved the day after Winx goes around, because there's always a certain amount of pressure attached to calling the races that she runs in Sydney. And the days leading up, you just feel a little bit anxious in the hours leading up to the race. So once it's over, it is somewhat of a relief, but it's a nice pressure to have, I can tell you.
Mm. Well, you've been along for the ride now for a long time. What does she mean to you as a professional?
She's something you really look forward to weeks in advance when you know she's running, because you know it's going to draw a certain aura, a certain elevated crowd generally to the track on the day. Calling her in races is quite surreal, for the fact that there's no other horse that I've dealt with where you know in advance she's simply going to win. And you have to sit down and basically contrive some type of line that's worthy of the occasion that lies ahead. And after you've done 5, 6, 7, 8, okay, but this is never ending. You've got to come up with more material here than a Seinfeld producer.
But you've done well, Darren. I have to say, each time she runs, there is something quite momentous that you manage to say as she crosses the line.
Well, I try and make it different. I don't want to just keep saying, and the champ wins by 4. Yeah, we're just trying to keep it something that in the years down the track, that when you do go back and watch these replays, and quite often there'll be shows where they're all back-to-back, and that's when it can become evident if the calls get a bit stale, that each race has to be made a little bit individual or a little bit unique, and I hope that in some way I've been able to achieve that.
Yesterday, again, she was so dominant, wasn't she?
Well, she was in the end. I had to say, just for a fleeting moment, when Le Romain made that strong move, and I was looking at Le Romain through the binoculars, and he really looked to be using himself and going very well at the time. And then I looked at Winx, and I certainly didn't panic, but I, just for a fleeting moment when she was 2 lengths behind and had egged hard on her inside, I just thought, how well is she actually going here? But I certainly didn't say anything, and I just sort of kept it to the fact that Winx has tooled 2 lengths behind, and then basically in 3 blinks of an eye there, Winx had drawn level, and then that trademark style where she just arrogantly palms them off and storms away and makes them look silly was just business as usual for her yesterday.
Mm. I had the privilege, like you, of being there yesterday to witness her 27th win in a row. How would you have described the atmosphere on course?
Well, it was a bit below expectations, because I thought in the week leading up to the race, I'm trying to work out, will this be the last time we see Winx in Sydney? I'm not entirely sure, because Chris Wallace still hasn't committed to whether the next step will be the Turnbull in Melbourne or the Craven Plate. And I mean, in my mind, I always assumed that the Cox Plate would be it. That would be the last hurrah. But the way she's going, she only just turned 7 yesterday, the way she's going, perhaps they will press on for the autumn. For the fact that there was no particular fanfare at Randwick yesterday, for potentially what could be the last time we see Winx race, they must feel confident she will go on to the autumn.
But you can never be too confident in this business with horses involved. I mean, she's a very sound horse and all of that, but, you know, the ride is not going to last forever, unfortunately.
No, that's one thing about life that's absolutely guaranteed, and we certainly have to make the most of these opportunities. And I think it's a common expression in life, Joe, you've got to party up like it's your last day on earth. you would agree with that sentiment, wouldn't you?
Oh, very much so, yes.
On the odd occasion.
I think we both attest to that theory. Darren, so what would you say is the highlight so far of Calling Winks? What's the race for you that really stands out?
I'd say it was the one that everybody thought she was going to get beaten in. And I have to say, I nearly did as well. When she resumed in the Warwick Stakes in 2017, the race that's now known as the Wink Stakes, but she missed the start by 5 lengths or so, and it didn't seem to be a big deal at the time. But when the stablemate Fox Play was leaders back, and then Fox Play, the boom filly at the time, just shot up the inside and established a 3-4 length lead, and Winks was still so far back, and I think the call was things are going to get desperate, and then in the end she dives and she got up. For me, that was the most enjoyable because I didn't have to sit back and contrive any type of line. I didn't have to think about anything. I just had to call the race. And I think myself, like most, thought she was going to get beaten. Now, a race caller doesn't want to say can't win. I know Bill Collins has become famous for it with the Kingston Town call. And I think most callers in a big race are still mindful of that. It's in the back of your head. I was nearly tempted on the day to say, I think the champ's in trouble, but I elected not to, which was a good move at the end. But I have to say, Joe, that was the call that I enjoyed calling the most because it was a proper race for that dramatic finish.
Well, you've been back in Australia now for a reasonable amount of time after being the head race caller for the Hong Kong Jockey Club. What a dream to return to Australian shores and have a horse like this emerge in front of you.
Well, I was disappointed the day I left Hong Kong. I called Able Friend for the last time, winning a Group 1 there, and my last call going past the post was, oh, I'm going to miss calling you, buddy. And there were many great horses there in Hong Kong. But to do that transition from Hong Kong to Sydney in a week, and then a couple of weeks later I called Chautauqua for the first time, called Winks getting beaten in the Oaks. That's the only time I've seen her get rolled. But after that, it's been 27 in a row since that day she actually was beaten by Gust of Wind in the Oaks.
Should the day ever occur, and I doubt it will, but God forbid if it does, that Winks would be defeated, from your perspective, how do you mentally sort of prepare for that, and how do you think you might handle that?
Well, I had often given that some thought, and there is sort of a line sort of stored there that I'll probably use if ever it's required. But yeah, how would I deal with it? It probably depends on who wins the race, whether it's an up-and-coming horse. Like, for instance, if Kemantari had won 2 starts back, I think I would have handled that quite well. That would have illustrated what a superstar Kemantari was. But if she was to get all boxed up and couldn't get out of a pocket and a 150-to-1 shot horse that was just having a prep run won it, that would be a huge disappointment. But if it was an up-and-coming horse, I think I'd handle that quite well.
What an amazing journey it's been for Winks and for you as the commentator to guide us through all of her magnificent wins. If she was to go on and win a 4th Cox Plate, will you be there? Will you be able to take the day off calling in Sydney to witness that? Or what's your plan around potentially that tilt at the Cox Plate?
The roster for the date, I think it's October 28, D. Flindell off. I'm already booked to go to Moonee Valley. A group of my schoolmates have made this a tradition for many years, and they've often said, why don't you do it? And I said, just knowing about... Once Winks decided not to go to Royal Ascot, I thought, OK, well, they'll stick on for the Cox Plate. I'll definitely join the boys. So, Joe, I'm really looking forward to just sitting there in Joe Public, in the Moonee Valley Grandstand, and just soaking up the atmosphere on the day. It's going to be something special.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thanks for all your colourful calls thus far, Darren, and enjoy Cox Plate Day and having a day as a normal race goer for a change.
Yes, that's right. It's a rare treat for a day. Like watching the TV screens last year for the Cox Plate, and when the cameras were panning around Moonee Valley, I just couldn't see a vacant spot anywhere. It looked like every vantage position was taken. There's It's quite a crew that we're going down with, and they're not all big punters, so we're going to have to allocate a few of the boys just to sort of sit there and mind all the, mind seats. So you know that old tradition.
Well, enjoy it.
Will do. Thanks, Joe.
All right. That's Darren Flindell, head race caller for Sky Racing, who's had the privilege of calling Winks well into the journey now, and he'll enjoy Cox Plate Day this year when she goes for number 4.